And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening. Your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. Hope you had a chance to get some rest. Hope you went to church and worshiped God and had a wonderful time with your family and maybe even a little bit of fellowship with your friends and just enjoyed yourself and that you're back at it on Monday morning, rip-roaring, ready to go. I had a very busy weekend, folks. I spent a significant amount of time yesterday at the Virginia Tea Party Summit. The Virginia Tea Party Federation held a summit meeting yesterday. A good friend of mine, well, actually a number of friends of mine were there. And if I start naming them off, I'll leave somebody out. But it was like a reunion. Let's put it that way. It was very much like a reunion and had a great time and a great turnout. A lot of good things said, a lot of good information shared. And I had a chance to speak about our Stand Against Communism movement that we've begun, this coalition that we've begun. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. But look, you are listening to the host here, E.W. Jackson. This is The Awakening here on American Family Radio. And I hope you'll tell a friend, tell a neighbor that they can listen to us anywhere at any time on their smartphone, their tablet, their laptop, their desktop, or even on a gaming device that they might have, because my understanding is that these PlayStations and whatever else they are, that you can actually tune in the internet on them. So if you can do that, you can get us at AFR.net. Now, we are on, I'm rounding off a little bit, but close to 200 stations around the country. That means we've got, my understanding is I think we're in about 237 cities that we're heard in around the country. So there's a lot of territory that we cover, but we know we don't cover it all. And we don't want everybody to know that they can listen to us no matter where you are. You can be out in the, if you can get an internet signal, that is, you can be out in the wilds of Alaska and get us, and you can be on the other side of the globe and get us. So we want to encourage everybody to tune in and listen in because, folks, what we do is becoming increasingly important in a world in which the media has just gone crazy. And I'll talk about that, too, in a moment. The number here is 888-589-8840. I'm not going to take any calls at this very moment, but please make a note of that so that when the time comes, you can dial right in, and I'll be glad to hear from you. If you want to follow me on Facebook, I'm at E.W. Jackson SR, E.W. Jackson SR, my personal Facebook page, Bishop EJ. Instagram, E.W. Jackson _ SR. And so we're posting on Instagram as well. Yeah, we're trying to take care of all of the social media out there. And let's see if I left anything out. The website is standamerica.us for my nonprofit organization, STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. You can check us out there. And I think that gives you a number of ways that you can get in touch with me. I speak all over the country. Don't ask me how I do that because it is a closely held secret. But the wonderful, ingenious staff of AFR helps me when I'm on the road to make sure that I can still be on the radio unless I'm in an airplane, and that's when it becomes impossible to do that. But if I've traveled somewhere else, I'm going to be on the air no matter where I am. So I was most of last week, even though I was in New Hampshire. By the way, I didn't tell you all this, but when I was in Manchester, New Hampshire, we had people show up who said, well, maybe I did. We had people show up and said, hey, well, you know, we're listening to you on the radio. So, yes, folks. We are heard as far north as you can get, even on the radio. But we're not limited by that. Now, let me get right to the subject at hand, folks. What is going on in the Congress right now is an abomination. It really is. It's an abomination. And I think that these so-called impeachment inquiries, which Nancy Pelosi has declared as Speaker of the House. She didn't go through the normal procedure of having a House vote to begin impeachment hearings. She simply declared the hearings to be official impeachment inquiries. So I'm not sure what that means from a legal or constitutional perspective. But then again, we know that the left never cares about what the Constitution says. They don't really care what the law says. If you don't believe me, just see how they deal with illegal immigration. The laws don't matter to them. The law only matters to them when it feathers their nest or when it advances their agenda. Otherwise, it is just something to be trampled or ignored. But she's begun this process. And folks, I find it so preposterous that I don't even really want to spend a whole lot of time on it. I can tell you this. I have read the complaint and I have read the transcript of the telephone call. And I can tell you, folks, if you haven't had a chance to do that, there is no there there. It's just not there. In fact, let me just give you one quick quote because I have a printed copy of the whistleblower's complaint in my hands. And by the way, having practiced law for a number of years, I look at this document and I know this document was prepared by an attorney. So either this whistleblower is an attorney or he is represented by an attorney who really crafted a very technical document. Now, it has no substance behind it, but it looks very official and it reads very legal and very well-reasoned. The problem is you can't reason yourself out of a non-factual basis into a conclusion that is justifiable. You just can't do it. But he nevertheless tries to do it. But here's the key quote on the first page. I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. However, I found my colleagues' accounts of these events to be credible because in all cases, in almost all cases, multiple officials recounted fact patterns. Now, folks, that's a lawyer talking. When you hear the phrase fact patterns, that's a lawyer talking. Because you know what fact patterns means? Really nothing. Nothing. I mean, that's one of these high-sounding phrases that really has no meaning behind it. What does a fact pattern mean? It means you've decided to link some things together which may or may not go together. But in your mind, they do. And since in the minds of these leftists and these deep statists who are buried within the Trump administration that he can't seem to get out, anything becomes a fact pattern that demonstrates the president's unworthiness to serve in that office. He goes on to say, in addition, a variety of information consistent with these private accounts has been reported publicly. Yeah, right. On MSNBC, the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel. Yeah, that's what MSNBC stands for. You didn't know that? They haven't announced that publicly. They should. Or CNN, the Communist News Network. I'm sure you'll find plenty of public reports that are based, again, upon lies and falsehoods and innuendos and mischaracterizations and highfalutin words like phrases like fact pattern, you know, this kind of thing. Folks, this thing is made up out of whole cloth. And, you know, the interesting thing that came to mind as I was considering the president's conversation. And in fact, I heard I think it was it Mark Levin or somebody else pointing out something that I'd said on the program last week, which is if the phrase do me a favor is now considered inculpatory, proof of some conspiracy, some violation of the deep constitutional principles by which the president is supposed to behave. Folks, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Stand by. There's more. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Earlier this month, one of the largest youth-led demonstrations took place around the globe. Those young people in New York then convened a youth climate summit on the weekend preceding the climate week that followed at the United Nations. If you were paying attention, you likely heard what sounded like two different messages, but actually each one was tailored for the appropriate audience. We used to hear that we only have a few years or a decade before doom and gloom. Now we're hearing many environmentalists talking about what will happen in 50 years or 100 years. The problem with doom and gloom predictions is they can be tested. A few months ago, I wrote a commentary that listed many of the failed predictions by Paul Ehrlich, George Wald, and others. The problem with making a prediction that millions will starve to death by 1980 is you discover that millions didn't starve to death. The Competitive Enterprise Institute recently posted dozens and dozens of failed environmental predictions that never occurred. That's why you're hearing leaders now talking about what will happen 50 to 100 years from now. You can't disprove that. Why are we simultaneously hearing young people in the streets, and even in Congress, claiming that we only have 10 to 12 years left? That is simple. They don't have any history of failed environmental predictions, and it's worth adding that they don't really know much about history. They are less likely to be skeptical as the adults. Some of us remember when we were told that the greatest threat was global cooling because we were putting particulates in the atmosphere. Then we heard that the threat was global warming because we were putting CO2 in the atmosphere. The current threat has morphed into climate change, or now climate crisis. The policy recommendations for each are the same, even though the strategy and the timeline have changed. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
That changed my life. Just from that ultrasound picture?
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So we're back. A conversation with the president of Ukraine by our president, President Donald J. Trump, is now considered to be an impeachable offense because he happened to mention the Biden's involvement with this Ukrainian company that was under investigation at one point. And suddenly this is spun out into, you know, he's violated the Constitution and this is a direct threat to our national security. I mean, does that pass the common sense test for anybody who's got a brain? Of course it doesn't. But folks, here's what I'm really troubled by. And I'm serious about this. It's not a partisan statement that I'm about to make. I am troubled by the fact that we are living in a nation now in which when the son of a vice president can collect from a foreign entity, a foreign business that is under investigation within its own country, the son of a vice president can be collecting $50,000 plus a month. And I've heard estimates, I've heard reported figures of up to $83,000 a month. But let's take the lower figure. $50,000 a month from a company that is under investigation in a country with whom we have very sensitive dealings. And sensitive, of course, because of Ukraine's position with the Soviet Union and now Russia, with the former Soviet Union and now Russia. And that is a very, very sensitive national security area for us. And for the son of a vice president to be collecting that kind of money, and then for the vice president to demand that prosecutor who is investigating that company to demand his firing, and to be told that there's no problem, there's no conflict. Folks, that's not just the appearance of a conflict. That's a conflict. Because you've got somebody being paid by a company that's being investigated, and the vice president is urging that the investigation be halted. That's not the appearance of a conflict. That is a conflict. I don't care whether the vice president argues that, well, I had other reasons and other people were calling for an end to the investigation too. Because your son is doing business with the company that is being investigated, you should have the good sense to completely to stay out of it. You should absolutely recuse yourself. I hate to use the word recuse because this is not a strictly legal forum in which you're making a judgment. But you should have the good sense to absolutely stay away from it. Say, because my son is involved. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm making decisions and proclamations and putting pressure, because what I'm really doing is not looking out for the interests of our country, but looking out for the interests of my son. And since his son is involved, folks, that is a real conflict. It's not just the appearance of a conflict. It is a real conflict. But we're told, oh, no, there's no problem there. I mean, it's not like the kid was being paid, you know, $5,000 for a board of directors visit, knowing he has to fly to Ukraine to be at the board meetings, and maybe he gets reimbursed for his expenses, and he gets paid opportunity costs, because that's probably at least a three day jaunt. So that's 3 days you don't have to do other things that you might be doing. Okay, I can see that. Expenses reimbursed, $5,000 a month. But when we're talking a visit, not a month. But when we're talking $50,000 a month, does anybody know how often he went to Ukraine? Does anybody know how often he attended these board meetings? Folks, that's $600,000 a year. Very few people are paid that for a full-time job. He was being paid that for occasional board meetings. I mean, are you kidding? And think about this. So this whistleblower comes forward. In the Obama administration, you had Benghazi, in which we knew that Susan Rice lied through her teeth, and so did many others in the administration, about exactly what the whole debacle in Benghazi was about, and how and why it happened, and the failure of security and the failure to provide the necessary security for our personnel who were there. Lies upon lies upon lies were told. No whistleblower came forward to reveal any information about that. You had Fast and Furious, in which apparently our attorney general sold guns that were marked so that we could trace those guns coming back across the border, which is, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. But nevertheless, that's what he did. And Americans were killed by those guns. I didn't hear any whistleblower come forward to say, well, look, this has been hidden. That's not been revealed. This has been no. Nothing. You had the IRS being used to harass. And folks, we haven't really heard the depths of that thing. That thing was very, very deep. The IRS turned into a Gestapo for all practical purposes, harassing conservative organizations, stopping them from getting their nonprofit status, challenging their nonprofit status, harassing them, investigating them. One person had the FBI show up at their place of employment. Now, all of that ultimately was shown to be a scam. It was nothing but using the levers of government to pressure one's political opponents. I never saw a whistleblower come forward for that. Did you? I mean, did I miss it? And folks, let's not forget the $1.7 billion transferred to Iran, in my view, under very suspicious circumstances, particularly when you consider that that money was going to a nation that is the most prolific promoter of terrorism in the world, the nation of Iran is. And you cannot tell me that a president could not justify withholding those funds on the basis of that nation's rogue status as a promoter of terrorism. You cannot tell me that he did not have the ability to do that. But he wanted to put that money in their hands, you know, because after all, President Obama was always looking out for always looking out for the Muslims. I'm serious, folks. He was. He was. Remember how he lectured us when people raised the issue of Islamic Jihad? Well, don't get on your high horse because, after all, don't forget the Crusades. Remember that? I mean, he never failed to defend Islam. Islam has made a tremendous contribution to this country. Well, I'm surprised anybody did because he never expressed much love or any love or affection for America. But when it came to Islam, oh, whatever America was, Islam made a major contribution to that. I mean, I didn't hear anybody saying, no, wait, whoa. There were some discussions about the putting $1.7 billion in cash in the hands of Iran, and here's what the president said. None of that. Why is it that this is only happening to President Donald Trump? Folks, it's because our government has been infiltrated, frankly, with a bunch of Marxists and socialists and communists who really don't respect our Constitution, don't respect our institutions of political authority, don't respect the Electoral College system, don't respect our elections. They don't respect anything about the way our country was designed to operate. They think it needs to be changed, and they're going to do it by any means necessary. And as far as I'm concerned, this whistleblower can, you know, just take a hike. Because I'm not buying any of it. To me, when I heard the director of DNI say, "Well, you know, I have I give him credibility that he's operating in good faith." I don't, because it stinks. But what about the Bidens? What about this kid getting a $1.5 billion contract with a business controlled by communist China and signing that contract after flying to China on Air Force Two with his vice president father? And you mean to tell me with a straight face the mainstream media and others are going to tell us, well, there's no conflict? I mean, we may have been born during the day, but it wasn't yesterday. And if you were born at night, but it wasn't last night. I mean, you know, it really demonstrates to me, this whole impeachment move demonstrates the disdain in which they hold the American people, the utter contempt that they have for the voters and for we the people who are the true sovereigns of this nation. And these deep state people who have, and by the way, President Trump was right to say these are spies. I'm not saying we take them out back and shoot them, folks. I'm not saying that. But he was right to call them spies. You know why? Because if a person is working in the administration or in any administration, and they really see wrongdoing, they see something that they really believe. And we've seen it. We've seen it. I mean, President Nixon was clearly off. President Clinton lied under oath. He lied. He violated the law. But a conversation with a foreign leader in which you bring up the potential corruption of a former vice president? Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for my turn, Don Wildman.
Some of our children have been cheated. They have the best chance at a good education, and countless opportunities belong to them in the business world. They have never had a time in history when their chance of making a good living was as good as it is right now. But they're cheated, robbed, and it is the parents who are to blame. Back during the Vietnam War, a young soldier named Terry J. lay wounded and near death. He was caught in a battle and saw no way to escape alive. So following what he considered to be his final living minutes, he wrote a letter to his mother. The Bristol, Virginia Herald Courier carried the letter later. Here's what he said. Dear Mother, you let us down. You never taught us to pray, and you never even sent us to Sunday school where somebody else could have done so. Yet there I was, right on the brink of eternity, and I didn't even know how to commence or what to say to the Lord. So please correct this error before Bud and Sis get away from home. Luckily for me, our chaplain has befriended me, but it's an awful sensation to face death and not even know how to speak to God. I didn't make it up. I just clipped it from the paper. And the story's true. It happened just that way. So you see, some of our children are cheated, and we parents are the ones to blame. Shame on us for giving our children everything in life except that which they shall eternally need. Shame on those of us who call ourselves parents and yet raise our children ignorant of life's greatest riches. Twice shame upon us. We're guilty, and the error is on our record. Another soldier wrote the following poem. It too speaks of the way our children are cheated. Look, God, I've never spoken to you, but now I want to say, how do you do? You see, God, they told me you didn't exist. And like a fool, I believed all of this. Last night, from a shell hole, I saw your sky. I figured right then they'd told me a lie. Had I taken the time to see the things you made, I'd know they weren't calling a spade a spade. I wonder, God, if you'd shake my hand. Somehow, I feel that you understand. Funny, I had to come to this hellish place before I had time to see your face. Well, I guess there isn't much more to say, but I'm glad, God, I met you today. I guess the zero hour will soon be here, but I'm not afraid since I know you're here. The signal? Well, God, I'll have to go. I like you lots, I hope you know. Looks like this will be a horrible fight. Who knows? I may come to your house tonight. Though I wasn't friendly with you before, I wonder, God, if you'd wait at the door. Look, I'm crying. Me. Shedding tears. I wish I'd known you these many years. Well, I'll have to go now, God. Goodbye. Strange, since I met you, I'm not afraid to die. I didn't make the poem up. It was found on a 19-year-old soldier in Vietnam. The sad part is that he was dead. Indeed, many parents have cheated their children.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, I'm going to make a little bit of a leap, but I want you to follow me closely because I want you to see the connection that I'm making. Look, I started this Stand Against Communism coalition because I really believe that Marxism has so invaded our culture and that the Democrat Party in particular has become so imbued with Marxist thinking that these people are de facto communists. Now, not du jour. I don't think that they're members of the Communist Party or that they have a communist ID card or anything like that. Or that they're meeting with a cabal of communists secretly. No, I think this is even more profound, more dangerous, more insidious. Because to some extent, they have poisoned the entire culture with this. But I think the elites know exactly what they're doing. Remember Joe Biden saying about the communist dictators who run China? And folks, don't be fooled by the fact that they've allowed some market principles to operate in China. They had to do that to keep their people from starving. But make no mistake, the leaders of China are communist dictators. That means China is still a totalitarian country, and that's not in any way an exaggeration. That's a fact. And Joe Biden said when this issue was raised about his son's dealing with communist China and his relationship with them as well, you know what he remember what he said? They're good folks. Oh, they're good folks. Wait a minute. Communist dictators, they're good folks. Now, I can see you saying, look, we can work with them. We can negotiate with them. We can cooperate with them where it seems appropriate. I can see saying, you know, we can have diplomatic relations, but they're good folks. Well, you know what? I really believe that the Democrat Party has become so Marxist in its thinking that communists and Marxists and socialists are very attractive to them. And I think that's been true for a long time. That's why so many of them were in love with Castro, in love with Che Guevara. Now let me make the point. Let me prove my point. Because one of the principles of Marxism is that there is no freedom of speech. The only speech that should be allowed is the speech that furthers the revolution or the speech that furthers the communist utopia that you are seeking to create, the classless society, right? Well, Joe Biden just wrote a letter to all of the major networks saying that they should not allow Rudy Giuliani on their air because Rudy Giuliani, of course, is bringing up the scandal of Joe Biden and his son, or his son at least, getting very wealthy trading on his father's name and title and position and influence. So they wrote to them and told them that they should not put Biden on because they should not put Giuliani on because Giuliani is trafficking in lies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can find the letter. The letter's been made public. But here's what I want to point out to you. Guess who signed the letter? Two people signed the letter. Kate Bedingfield, whose name you probably don't recognize, but here's one you might recognize. Anita Dunn. Remember Anita Dunn? Anita Dunn was Barack Obama's communications director. She is the woman who famously said when she faces difficulties, one of the people to whom she looks for advice and wisdom and counsel in his writings is Mao Zedong. Now, folks, Mao Zedong? Mao? Well, the only reason why you would look to Mao for wisdom is that you're a communist. Because Mao was an absolute, committed, complete communist. Why would anybody look to Mao unless they're a communist? That's who Joe Biden has as one of his top campaign operatives. She was the communications director for Barack Obama. Let me give you another fact, and then I want to hear from you all. The numbers 888-589-8840, because I am incensed by the idea that they're trying to railroad the president and then trying to whitewash Joe Biden's corruption. Because as far as I'm concerned, he and his son are both crooks. I'm sorry. Come on. You don't get rich while your father's vice president dealing with foreign countries with whom we have dealings. And it has nothing to do with your father being vice president. It's just a function of the brilliance that you bring to the table. And they can't possibly do without you. And even if your father weren't vice president, they would be knocking down doors to find you and bring you in to help them solve all of their business and governmental problems. Yeah, right. Here again, you believe that one? I got a great big old bridge in Brooklyn I'd love to sell you. And so here's another fact that I just discovered recently. You know, Pete Buttigieg is going around telling people that, well, you know, God made me gay and God made me this way and God is concerned about climate change. And, you know, this comes straight out of Gramsci's, Antonio Gramsci, the Marxist communist theorist. He started the Communist Party of Italy, who said that the way you take over a free country is not by violence, but you take it over by insinuating yourself into the cultural institutions and influences, and you change it from within. Pete Buttigieg is trying to change what the church teaches and change what the church believes, or at least try to promote that to people and say that, God is concerned about climate change and God made people homosexual, and that's completely contrary to the Bible, but that doesn't matter. But, that's part of what Antonio Gramsci said was the key to a communist revolution in a free society like the United States of America that is not held together by force, but held together by ideals and values and principles which the people share in common. Well, guess who Pete Buttigieg's father was? He died in January of this year. Pete Buttigieg's father is Joseph Buttigieg. He was at Notre Dame for 40 years, but he is the founder of the International Gramsci Society. Pete Buttigieg's father was a straight-up communist. Now, here again, we're not talking about people who carry a communist ID card or they're members of the Communist Party or they meet in communist cabals. We're talking about people who share the views of Karl Marx and his disciples and have actively promoted it. In fact, do you know what Pete Buttigieg's major contribution was to scholarship? How culture and politics work together. Because, see, Gramsci said, you change the culture, you change the politics. Well, somebody famously said, I forget who it was who said it, but politics is downstream from culture. Well, Antonio Gramsci said that a long time ago, except he said it with the intent that we would change the culture of so-called free societies, change the economy and government of free societies by getting in and changing their culture. You create an alternative set of ideals and values. He called it you subvert their Christian cultural hegemony and you substitute a new one for it. And Pete Buttigieg is the son of a Gramsciite who started the International Gramsci Society. Folks, and you, August 24th, when the Democrat Party declared by resolution that the atheists and the agnostics and the non-religiously affiliated represent the values of the Democrat Party. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. These are facts about what is actually happening in our country. And I said all that simply to say, when you begin to see this push to limit our First Amendment rights, this push to censor people you don't agree with, this push to change the definitions that have been so important to our culture and so important to who we are as Americans, folks, that's straight out of Marx's playbook, translated, of course, into, shall we say, a more subtle approach by Antonio Gramsci. And look, folks, all of this multiculturalism, all of that stuff grows out of Gramsci. Cultural relativism, that's all Gramsci. He's had a more profound impact, at least on America and maybe on the world, from a communist perspective, even than Karl Marx himself did. Back in a moment.
Jesse Manassian on Focus on the Family Minute.
I was homeschooling my kids when they were youngest. We were at the zoo often, and my kids loved animals. And we were able to start beginning those early conversations as early as 4 and 5 and 6 of that God's designed life to reproduce. And, there's always material at the zoo. Something's always going down at the zoo. And so being able to talk about it in a disconnected sort of way. It's not
a biological
about people.
Way.
Yes, biologically yeah. Disconnected. Or in the garden. I had a garden, and so we would talk about how the flowers were pollinated. Or there's always, a boy part and a girl part. And, talking about that with flowers even at that age. And then as they get older, it's not necessarily, starting completely new ground when they're starting to have questions or their bodies are starting to develop. You've already laid the groundwork and introduced vocabulary to begin these conversations.
Yeah, that's good.
Hear more from Jesse at FamilyMinute.org.
For well over a century, secular progressives in the United States have worked to alter the very nature of our republic.
Progressives had no problem with saying we can leave the Declaration of Independence behind. For the progressives, there are no longer any God-given natural rights.
AFA Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano helps you understand the progressive threat to the American Republic. Get your copy of this powerful DVD from the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
J.J. helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
This banquet was our best banquet ever, thanks to J.J. Jasper.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, folks, listen, the elections that we're having in America today, and I'm including the presidential election, but I'm also including the local elections, often come down not to a battle between conservative and liberal, because at one point liberalism was just center left and conservatism center right. But now the left has gone so far off the rails that you have to count them with the communists, the fascists, the Nazis in terms of their approach to government and their approach to culture. So this is not these elections and this debate now is about the Constitution versus communism, really. It's about freedom versus communism. And here again, we're not talking about card-carrying members of the Communist Party. We're talking about people who can say, oh, I'm not a member, I'm not a communist. But all of their thinking is imbued with Marxism. So what's the difference? In fact, in some ways, again, it's more insidious and more dangerous because it's really harder to put your finger on. And that's why I'm trying to make sure that you all are awakened to the subversive ideology that is taking place in our country. The number is 888-589-8840. For the rest of the program, I want to take your calls. So by all means, call in and let me know what you think about this and give us the benefit of your ideas. Let's go to George in Missouri. George, welcome.
Hey, EW, how you doing today? Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I think that all these people that are Republicans, that are constitutional Republicans, are whatever, need to get on the ballot and run against these unopposed Democrats that are on there. And we need to take back our country. And these Republicans in the House and the Senate need to stand up for this president like they never did before. They're like, come on, get a backbone, pal.
Mm. George, amen and amen to both points. Let's go to Vin in Oklahoma. Vin, welcome. Vin, are you there? Oops, sorry about that, Vin. Thank you. Thank you all for your help. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Vin.
I just want to expand on that last caller. I'm in the same boat as him. My question is, where are all the Republicans, and how come they're not coming and rallying to the president's defense? You know, we have a Republican-led Senate led by Mitch McConnell. You also have Lindsey Graham. last week on TV, he said that he likes Joe Biden. He thinks he's a great guy. And none of these Republicans have done taken any action to have subpoenas at all. And any of these Democrats or any of these people that have gone against President Trump for the last 3 years. And all we see on TV is the Democrats holding hearings. But we don't see anything as far as coming from our Republican-led Senate. And the other thing I just wanted to mention is it's not just Hunter Biden that's involved in this situation. It's also John Kerry's stepson.
Yes.
And then the last one is Whitey Bulger. I'm originally from Boston, and I know about Whitey Bulger and his criminal activities. But Whitey Bulger's nephew was involved with Hunter Biden also. So where is the where is this great process, the democratic constitutional laws that we have? I'll tell you, I think it's a big dog and pony show up there in Washington, D.C., and it's both sides. It's just ridiculous. And where we're going to go with that, I have one last thing that I just want to read to you that I made up that I'm so frustrated about, because we've taken out the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayers in schools. And this is my new Pledge of Allegiance that I think, if it keeps going the way it's going, this is what it's going to read. I pledge allegiance to the divided states of America and to the republic for which it falls. Two nations above God, indivisible, with liberties being taken away, and two separate levels of justice for all.
Thank you, Vin. I appreciate the call, Vin. Listen, yep. Here again, folks, you all are hitting it right on the head. Why Republicans are not more, shall we say, aggressive in making clear their views? I vacillate between they're cowards and they're risk averse in some cases. And don't get me wrong, there's some wonderful Republicans. Don't get me wrong. But many of them, I think, are they cowards because they're just risk averse? They don't want to step out there. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned. There's a difference between a sold out, born again, Bible believing, spirit filled Christian who is not primarily motivated by the quest for power and influence, but motivated by the quest to save this country, to please God. Because as far as I'm concerned, those are the people who will shed their blood, if necessary, to make sure that America remains free. And we need a lot more like that in Congress. So I hear you, Vin. Let's go to Lynn of Oklahoma. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on here. Quick thing, everybody's talking about Biden's son and Biden connected. But remember, Biden also called out the president and linked the president to the corruption scam. He said, just pick up the phone and call the president, see if I don't have authority to do this. And then you've got the pay-to-play with the Clintons. It's a heritage. I forget what it's called. It's a term that they say that it comes from the top down. If pay-to-play is happening at the two highest levels, then why is not the upper level also involved? So that's a question
okay.
for you to look at.
Oh, okay, Lynn. But thanks for the call. Let's go to Helen. Helen, welcome. Helen, are you there?
Oh, yes. You know, Bishop, I just love you. You're saying exactly what I've been saying. I have a shirt that says Jesus Saves on it, and I wear it proudly. And
amen.
I was so mad at Ted Cruz, I called him a coward. And there are 21 Republicans that have been going over to the Democrats' way of thinking. And it makes me so mad because I'm a veteran. And my son was in the Navy. And my my uncles were in World War II. They fought against Hitler. And
listen, before you go any further, Helen, since you brought up Ted Cruz by name, now we don't have forever to do this, but lay out what your problem is with him. What specifically are you saying?
Okay, I did find out this new judge, and I think it's one of the districts, and he's a conservative judge. He's a Christian, and Cruz is against it. He's fighting Trump. No, you can't have that man. They're supposed to stand behind our president, stand with him. And instead of going over to Nancy Pelosi's lies, well, I'm proud to have served my country, and I tried to go back in, but they wouldn't let me. I'm too old. But you keep it up, man.
Thank you, Helen.
The way you're talking.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Helen. Well, look, folks, for full disclosure, I'm a friend of Ted Cruz's dad, and I know Ted as well. I consider myself a friend of his. I mean, we don't have dinner every night or anything, but I am certainly going to look into that and see what's going on. Because, you know, I've said this many times before, and look, when you've been around politics as I have, you develop friendships and relationships. But the reality is this, our country is at stake, and we have to hold anybody in public office accountable. And it's just that plain and simple. I think Ted Cruz has been a friend to conservatives always, and I like to think he still is. But I will take a look at what Helen has said about this judge and see exactly what his reasons are for not supporting that particular individual. And, Ted's a pretty smart and thoughtful guy. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he's got good reason. But we'll find out. I don't think we can give anybody a pass, though. Things are simply too critical. Let's go to Sally in Georgia. Sally, welcome.
Yes, this is Sally Smith. I thank God for American Family Radio because a lot of these things these Democrats says, and then the way the news media portray it, you will really believe what the Democrats are saying. So I've been trying to tell my son to listen to it as well. And you have to be, if you call yourself a Christian, you have to really look at yourself if you want to vote Democrat.
All right.
They're liars, they thieves, they crooks, and they just want to witch hunt this man, you know, for no reason. It's just bitterness, hatred, and anger.
And Sally, they just had a meeting on August 24th in which they said the atheists, the agnostics, the secularists, the non-religiously affiliated represent the values of the Democrat Party. Now, that's to me is just telling Christians, so listen, you Christians don't count. Shut up. You know, get in the back of the bus, so to speak. We don't want to hear from you. We are siding with these people who don't believe in God. I don't know how much more plain it can become. But Sally, thank you so much for the call. God bless you. Let's go to Bruce in Oklahoma. Welcome, Bruce.
Reverend Jackson, thank you for your show, and God bless AFA and all the truth that is told over this station. I heard the guy a couple callers back gave a pledge of allegiance, pledge of allegiance. I penned one in 2012, when the health care issue was going on and the Democrats rammed that down the American public's throat and all the underhanded stuff that they did. And I've called my senators and talked to them, and you know, they just say, well, those people were voted in by their constituents, and that's how their constituents feel, so we can't go against what they want. I would like to give my pledge
Bruce, listen, I can't let you do that this time because we're going to be out of time. But look, do me a favor. Call back a little earlier in that last segment of the show, or maybe even earlier than that, and I'll make sure that I get you on because I'm down to about 30 seconds. But thanks for calling, Bruce. We really do appreciate it. And sorry we couldn't get to everybody. But look, we'll be back again tomorrow. Stay tuned. Call in. And we'll try to get right to you. In the meantime, folks, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.